أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ثم أتبع سببا حتى إذا بلغ مطلع الشمس وجدها تطلع على قوم لم نجعل لهم من دونها سترا كذلك وقد أحطنا بما لديه خبرا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related to us the first travel undertaken by Dhul-Qarnayn. And when he traveled, he was the king. So he traveled along with his forces and along with whatever provisions they required along the way, with his weaponry and whatever else he required. And you can imagine what a sight it was witnessing this king who had ownership and authority over the entire world, traveling from one end to the other end. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yesterday spoke of the journey of Dhul-Qarnayn that had taken place to the extreme far western part of the world. Now again, you'll find commentaries trying to pinpoint the geographical location of this place, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not disclosed it to us. There's no need to waste much time in trying to understand where these places were and really existed. Allah speaks of a second journey undertaken by him. This is in the opposite direction. Allah says once again, ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. We spoke of the meaning of sabab yesterday. Sabab means anything that's provided to you in order to achieve a certain objective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the sabab that we gave him, he followed the sabab. ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he then followed another way. He followed another means. And this time, he is traveling in the opposite direction. Allah says, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَطْلِعَ الشَّمْسِ. Yesterday, Allah says, he reached مَغْرِبَ الشَّمْسِ. مَغْرِبَ الشَّمْسِ, the point where the sun was setting. He could not travel any further and go beyond that point because of that murky water that he arrived at. This direction, Allah says, مطلع. What's the meaning of مطلع? مطلع means the place where the sun rises, so the east. The furthest part in the east that existed in that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَطْلِعَ الشَّمْسِ. Until when he reached the مطلع of the sun, the rising point of the sun. What did he find there? وَجَدَهَا تَطْلُعُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ. He also found a people, a community, a nation living over there. So he found the people on this side who were infidels and disbelievers, and he spoke of how he dealt with them. And on this side over here, he found another community. Allah describes the community and the people. What does Allah say about them? Allah says, وَجَدَهَا تَطْلُعُ. He found the sun rising, عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ, over a قَوْم, over a people, لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا سِتْرًا, whom we did not make a covering for against the heat of the sun. So he comes to a community, a people, he finds that they are not living in shelters. They are not living in tents. They are a community who are living out in the open. And they are doing so naturally, as if they have been doing so since the time they came into existence. And according to some Mufassirin, they were a community who were not even clothed, as we are clothed. Because Allah says they were a people for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make any sitr. Sitr means a covering. What you are wearing is covering. What is above you is a covering. Sitr. It could mean a host of things. Allah says they had no sitr. They had no covering against the heat of the sun. According to some Mufassirin, based on this description, they said the people of Africa in that era could have been described as such a community. Because generally, we find that they were a civilization who preferred living out in the outdoors and living in this way. So it could have been. And in fact, there are some historical accounts that support this. But again, as we said, the objective is not to waste too much time in trying to pinpoint the geographical location of the community. So he comes across this community, That's all Allah says about them. Were they infidels? Were they believers? It is quite obvious that they were infidels as well. No message of deen or Islam had reached them, and he treated them the way he treated the other community. He did not come there and enslave them. Compare the expeditions and the adventures undertaken by Dhul-Qarnayn and that of the colonial leaders and the colonial powers. The colonial powers, when they came to a land, what did they do? We saw it happening in our country. We have seen it happening in countries around the world. Immediately they colonized those countries and they colonized the people and subjected them to oppression and they subjected them to their authority. But that was not the case with Dhul-Qarnayn. He said, what did he say? I will treat them with kindness. And what is meant by kindness and showing them good? But inviting them to Islam, those who will refuse that, then I am going to take a harsh approach against them. Not to enforce my authority, but in order for them to realize that they should accept and embrace the message of Islam. Allah says, كَذَلِكْ thus it was. So he found this community, وَقَدْ أَحَطْنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we encompassed him with knowledge in whatever he had along with him. We empowered him and equipped him with the knowledge that he required in order to undertake these travels, number one. And also very important, we empowered him with the necessary knowledge that he needed in order to interact with such communities. First time he's coming across a community, a civilization, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he provided him with the knowledge and the skill and the art of how to deal and how to treat these people. Then the third and the most important of all the journeys that he had undertaken, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ السَّبَبَ. Here Allah does not give the direction. There Allah says he traveled to the furthest part in the west. Here Allah says he traveled to the furthest part in the east. Allah speaks of the third journey where he now encounters Ya'juj and Ma'juj, a community, a civilization, a people that exists up to this day and will exist right up to before Qiyamah is announced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hatta thumma atba'a sababa, for a third time. Thumma atba'a sababa. When you read Kahf and you come across this thumma atba'a sababa, it is introducing you to a new journey of this. So ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ السَّبَبَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he followed the sabab. He put the means to his use. And he undertook another journey. Allah says about the place that he arrives at. Allah says, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ. Allah says, until he came to an area and he reached an area between a السَّدَّيْنِ. Sad literally means a barrier, a wall. Like the wall you have at certain dams, right? You have a dam wall, that's called a sad. It's a barrier that is in place in order to sort of guard one against any force of whatever kind, of whatever nature. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of Sayyidul Arim, the floods of Arim, there also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of a sad, a wall or a barrier. In Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدَّ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا. Allah says we placed a barrier before them, a barrier at the back of them. So Allah says he reached a place, بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ. He came between two سَدَّيْنِ. Here, سَدَّيْنِ referred to two huge, extremely huge mountains. They were two very big mountains. And in between the mountains, you had a passage, you had a pathway, a mountain path as he was referring to. And why are these two mountains known or referred to as two barriers? Because they would serve as barriers for a people against Ya'juj and Ma'juj who live behind the mountains. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ وَجَدَ مِنْ دُونِهِمَا قَوْمًا. Allah says, next to the mountains, close to the mountains, in the vicinity of these two mountains, he found a community, he found a people. Describing this community, Allah says, لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا. They could almost not understand anything that Dhul-Qarnayn was saying to them, meaning they could not communicate at all. Right? He could not communicate with them, they could not communicate with him, they spoke a different language, or perhaps they uttered certain certain utterances that made no sense to Abul Qarnayn. So Allah says about these people, لا يكادون يفقهون قولا, they could not understand any statement. قالوا, they complained to Abul Qarnayn. What did they say to Abul Qarnayn? They said, O Abul Qarnayn, إن يأجوج ومأجوج. There is a community that lives behind these two huge mountains. They are known as Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Gog, Magog. They are known by this name. Mufsiduna fil ard. They are mischief makers, ravagers. Every now and again, they come through that mountain pass. They can't scale the mountains, but they come through the mountain pass. They come into our city, our region, our area. Mufsiduna fil ard. And when they come, they cause corruption. They destroy the land. They kill the people. They are real ravagers and mischief makers. فَهَلْ نَجْعَلْ لَكَ خَرْجًا. Look, we see you are a mighty man. You look like you are a powerful king. Of course, they are communicating with him through sign languages or whatever it may be. And they said, listen, we will stipulate for you a payment. Listen, Abul Qarnayn, we will stipulate for you خَرْجًا, a payment, عَلَىٰ أَن تَجْعَلَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ سَدًّا, on condition that you build a sad, a barrier between us and between them. In other words, the mountain pass, we want you to build a barrier between the mountain pass so it is as high as the two mountains in order to serve as a barrier so that they cannot come into our town or into our village and destroy us. May Allah grant us in this name.